Y'all, my name is Stephanie. Hey, guys. I'm from Touchstone Christian Fellowship, and I got to catch my breath because this is long-winded. Seriously. But today, y'all, I just want to share a little bit of my story and a word from God that I truly believe will encourage you in difficult times and in your everyday walk with the Lord. But first, let's pray. Father, we thank you so much that we get this wonderful opportunity to come before you, to retreat from our daily lives and the busyness and just all the chaos, and come into this place to worship you, to honor you. But Lord, we need to hear from you. So I pray that you just speak, Lord. Just allow my flesh to die and let your Holy Spirit speak to your daughters. Give them ears to hear. Let your word just penetrate their heart deeply. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Whew. Buckle up. Rocky Marciano. Ever heard the name? He was the heavyweight boxing champion of the 1950s. Marciano wasn't the biggest fighter. At just 5'10", he was smaller than most heavyweights, but one of the most toughest boxers of all time. But what set him apart was his training ground. Marciano trained harder than anybody. He ran 5 to 15 miles a day, swam in lakes to strengthen his lungs, hammered a 300-pound punching bag, sparred hundreds of rounds a week, run in heavy boots and chopped wood until his hands bled. He even jogged backward down hills to build stamina and to sharpen his footwork. His calisthenics were brutal. Medicine ball sit-ups, push-ups, and nonstop body weight drills. And unlike most fighters, he trained all year round, never letting himself get out of condition. And that discipline gave him endurance. And with it, he could outlast anyone in the ring. Marciano followed two principles. The first one is to train hard and to get in the best possible physical condition. The second is to forget all about the other fellow until you face him in the ring and the bell sounds for the fight. This approach allowed him to focus entirely on his own readiness without dwelling on his opponent, which helped him prevent worry. Marciano finished his career victoriously as the only undefeated heavyweight champion in history with 49 wins, 43 by knockout, and zero losses. The title of my message is Battle Through. Joy awaits. Have you ever felt like life just keeps piling this weight on you? Where it seems like every time you look up, another brick drops on your shoulders. The bills, the family drama, loss, pain, stress at work, brick after brick after brick, and you just feel like you're just buckling underneath it. But the crazy thing is, sometimes the heaviest weight is not the one we're carrying on our shoulders. It's the one that we're carrying in our hearts and in the battlefield of our minds. Like, there's this war between your faith and your feelings, between your flesh and the spirit, these internal barriers of heaviness and mindsets or thought processes, behavior patterns that become these stumbling blocks of inadequacies that can create a distance or a separation between you and God. For some of us, it becomes a battle with shame. For others, it's guilt over stuff you already repented for. Maybe it's comparison. Or maybe it's self-doubt that just won't shut up. Or maybe it's just that secret sin that you keep trying to fight in silence. Whatever it is, you're tired, you're frustrated, you're overwhelmed, and you just want it all to go away. Because the load is just too heavy. But later on, down the road a ways, you come to the realization that you're still fighting those same battles due to the fact that you lack the stamina, you lack the strength, you lack the endurance because you were training on the wrong training ground. If I'm being real with y'all, I'm owning all that. I own that. That was my life. See, I grew up in a household of believers. And as a young teenager, I asked Jesus into my heart. I got saved. I got baptized. But around the age of 18, my feelings and my emotions and the battlefield in my mind got the best of me. And I began to slowly walk away from my faith. And it wasn't because I stopped believing, but I was in an all-out battle with the enemy who wanted nothing more than to destroy my identity and frustrate God's plans for my life through confusion and persuasion, through temptation and deception. I was fighting the fight with same-sex attraction, smoking weed, drinking alcohol, and I had a major problem with four-letter, five-letter, and 12-letter words flying out of my mouth all the time. I was what they called a hot mess. Can anybody relate? And you know, I never experienced peace. I never had hope. I never had anything to look forward to. I was just existing, trying to find something at least close to happiness. But you know happiness now, come on. It comes, it goes, depends on the mood, depends on the moment, depends on the circumstances. But the pressure of those stumbling blocks, those battles would eventually mature to the point where I just simply stopped trying to fight it. Because in my mind, I thought, hey, this is just who I was. I was constantly giving myself the task of trying to fix what was broken in me in my own strength and in my own power. But every time I ended up right back where I started, empty and weary. I need some water. So I settled into that familiar mindset, and I lived that lifestyle for 3 decades. Thank you. Bear with me, y'all, because we're going somewhere. After 30 years of bondage, wandering in spiritual Egypt, when I wasn't even looking, when I wasn't trying to get right with God, he chased me down. But he wasn't looking for that itty bitty teeny tiny piece of me. Mm-mm. He wanted all of me. And at the time in 2014, it was like, okay, God, now I know that you know what I've been entertaining all these years. And God, I know that you know that I'm still living this life. But you want all of me? For real? Okay. Okay, that's exactly what you're going to get. What you do with me, that's your business. Because all I know, I'm tired of running from you. From that moment, more or less, I rededicated my life to him. I started going back to church. I got baptized again. And day after day, week after week, month after month, God kept inviting me into his presence. You know what I did? I kept accepting his invitation to study his word, to pray, to feel his closeness. Y'all, I had this hunger in me that I just couldn't explain. I had this craving to know him more and allow his word to wash over me and cleanse me and open my eyes to the depravity of my life to see who I was in relationship to a pure, a holy, a righteous, a gracious, a loving, and just God. Who loved me in spite of my raggedy self. Every day that I showed up to meet with God in my little prayer closet, the weight of what I was carrying got lighter and lighter and lighter. And about 12 to 14 months later, the power of the indwelling presence of God actively working and moving and shifting things in my life set me free from every stronghold and every trap the enemy tried to use to keep me bound. God had kept me steady. He kept my footing firm on that battlefield, y'all. Woo! He gave me just the right amount of strength that I needed to endure. He gave me just the right amount of fatherly discipline that I needed so that my heart could be aligned with his will. And he gave me more than a dash of grace to make it to the other side of surrender. Before my very eyes, I saw God do exactly what he had promised. He had made known to me the path of life, the path where being persistent in his presence is vital, because that is our training ground. That's where our soul is refreshed. That's where we're renewed, where we revive, where we re-energize. It's the place where peace runs deep and joy overflows. And when you walk away with unshakable confidence that he's with you in every valley, in every high and every low, in every peak and every shadowed place, surely his goodness and mercy follows you. And when we live in that kind of awareness, y'all, when we live in total dependence on God, no matter the size of the battle, we realize that it is the richest way to live. Oftentimes, as followers of Jesus, as I've testified, when we're faced with difficulties, when we're going through tough times, it's easy for us to turn away from the very place that we need to be. We turn away from God's word. We turn away from going to church, and even our prayers can go. And we look just like the world. We suffer just like the world, as if we had no hope, as if we had no savior, worn down, burned out, running on fumes. Why, y'all? Why are we the ones with the helper, the counselor, the comforter, the spirit of the living God inside of us still choosing to fight as if he ain't enough? Jesus told his disciples in John 16:33, he said, "In this world, you will have trouble. But take heart, because I have overcome the world." Now, I'm paraphrasing this, y'all, but listen, straight up, Jesus told his disciples, you will first face some persecution. You're going to feel some pain. You're going to feel some pressure. There will be some despair. Battles, there will be some battles. The storms are coming, y'all. That's guaranteed. But what's optional is if you take heart, if you take me at my word. He said, don't let those trials discourage you. Don't let the pain steal your peace and rob you of your joy. Because look, he said, I have overcome the world. Do y'all realize that Jesus declared that before the cross, before the grave, before his resurrection? What, y'all think heaven was up there talking about, okay, y'all, angels, pump your brakes. Let's see if Jesus is going to win this one. Nah. The outcome was already sealed. The victory was already his. And because Jesus lives in us, that same confidence is ours. We don't have to wait until the storm passes to know how it ends. We can declare victory right in the middle of it, even before it hits. We can declare what is written in Romans 8:37. I am more than a conqueror. Not one day, but right now. We can declare what is written in Isaiah 54:17. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. Even before the weapon is raised, we can declare 1 Corinthians 15:57. But thanks be to God, he gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Y'all, we got to believe that the battle can't define us. We got to believe that we won't let it destroy us. We got to know that our peace is secure and our joy is untouchable. We got to hear with our spiritual ears, and we got to see with our spiritual eyes, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is now set down at the right hand of the throne of God. How many of y'all think that Jesus was eager to go to the cross to endure suffering? I'll wait. How many of y'all are eager to face your next battle? I'll wait. But Jesus, he saw what his pain would accomplish. The joy set before him was taking our shame, taking our guilt, taking our depression, taking our sin, our heavy real life battles, carrying them straight to the cross and crushing them there. Because he, so you and I could have freedom, so you and I could have healing, so you and I could have direct access and connection into the presence of God, because he thought that you and I mattered. No, no, no. Jesus went through hell to bring us into heaven today. And that direct access is straight to the fullness of his joy. The kind that Jesus talks about in John 15, where he starts off talking to his disciples about staying connected to him like branches to a vine. I'm paraphrasing again, but work with me. Jesus said, if you remain in me, if the branch stays attached to the vine, if you stay in my presence, you'll bear fruit. But apart from me, you're just a branch. There's no life in you. You're just existing to exist. It ain't gonna work out too well. But no, go ahead, do what you do. I gave you free will. But I'm telling you, apart from me, you can't do anything. Jesus goes on in verse 11. He said, these things I have spoken to you that my joy would be in you. And your joy would be full. I got to dissect that. Jesus said, my joy, his joy, would be in you. If Jesus said my joy, then he must be the fulfillment of joy. And if Jesus is the fulfillment of joy, and Jesus lives in you, and Jesus lives in me, okay, I get it. I get it. Jesus is saying that he has a joy that's not based on circumstances, that not based on the move, not based on the moment, not based on feelings, but based on connection. The closer we stay to him, the deeper our joy becomes, and it is full. It is complete. But here's the thing, Shelby. We got to start living like what he said is actually true, because it is. Sometimes the hardest part of life's battle is how the fight affects us on the inside. The arguments, the bills, the diagnosis, the pain, the pressing, the weight, the heaviness that settles deep within doesn't just sit there. Sometimes it lingers, sometimes it grows, sometimes it wears on our thoughts, on our focus, and on our faith. But what I learned is, listen, is that the pressure is oftentimes the pressing. The pressure is oftentimes the pressing. Rarely comfortable, but always purposeful. In the Bible, oil was used for anointing, for healing wounds, for sustenance. It represented the power of the Holy Spirit. But oil came from olives only after they were crushed. Wine came from grapes only after they were pressed. And in the same way, God allows seasons of pressing to produce something in us that couldn't come out any other way. Goodness gracious. Joseph was pressed in the pit and sold into slavery by his brothers before Pharaoh made him ruler over his house and all of his people. David was pressed in caves, running and hiding from Saul before he wore a crown. Jesus was pressed in Gethsemane, which means oil press, before he drank the cup of suffering for our salvation. Luke tells us in 22:44, speaking of Jesus, he said, and being in anguish, he prayed more earnestly. And his sweat was like drops of blood falling to the ground. Jesus's mental, emotional, and spiritual suffering was so intense that it caused him to sweat blood under the most agonizing and crushing pressure. The weight of our sin was upon him. But listen, but even in pressing, he was faithful in prayer. Hold on. And even in the pressing, he surrendered fully to the Father's will, and from it flowed the greatest act of love this world has ever seen. Would you agree that there's purpose in the pressing? Look at 1 Corinthians 4, 8 through 10. This is Paul speaking to the raggedy church of Corinth. He said, we are hard pressed on every side, but not perplexed, but not in persecuted, but not struck down, but not. We always carry around in our body the death of Jesus so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body. In other words, pressure does not mean defeat. Jesus' death that we carry around in our body every day is the key that unlocks his life in us as we trust his will to be done, as we come face to face with conflict, with disappointment, strongholds, hardship, every scar, every tear, every battle we've ever fought, including the one you're in right now, proves that his life is being revealed in us. And here's the beauty that God promises in Isaiah 61:3, to give them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of joy instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. And that is the great exchange, where God trades the weight of what we carry for what only he can give, turning our loss into life, our sorrow into joy, and our heaviness into a song of praise. The very weight that tried to break you, that tried to break you, that tried to break you, that tried to break me, now becomes the birthing place of our joy. Sometimes the pressing comes through years of running, through cycles of choices that feel unbreakable, through battles with identity and habits or addictions that seem impossible to lay down. But it's in those very seasons of pressing, when life feels hopeless and beyond repair, that God comes along and does the kind of work in you that you never dreamed possible. Those same battles, those same obstacles and afflictions are transformed into undeniable evidence of his power, of his mercy, and of his glory on display in a life. So hold on. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy, it comes in the morning. Joy, what keeps you when storms come again and again. Joy, the fruit of staying close to the vine. Joy doesn't come from the absence of pain. It comes from the presence of God in the pain. His presence, his spirit in you and in me is the difference. So let him press. Let him purify. And let him pour out joy. And lastly, I don't know what battles you're facing right now, but just like Marciano, we have our own training ground. It's not in the lake, it's not in the gym, and it's definitely not in the boxing ring. Our training ground is in the presence of God. That's where our strength is built. That's where our endurance is formed, and that's where our faith is sharpened, in prayer, in his word, in surrender. So when life throws its hardest punches, we can take the hits, and we can keep on standing, and we can finish our fight. We can finish our race undefeated in Christ Jesus. Amen. Father, we thank you. Thank you for sending your son. Because it is only in your son, Lord, that we can even declare victory. Finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross. We are more than conquerors. Father, I just want to lift up every person in this room that is going through a battle right now. I pray, Father, that you would just strengthen them, Lord, through the power of your spirit. Before they leave this weekend, Lord, to take those battles to the feet of Jesus. Do not leave here. I pray that they won't leave here without doing that. Father, because you said, all who are weary and heavy laden, to come and you will give them rest. I pray that they receive their rest. And Lord, I pray that we would just keep our eyes on you. For such a time as this, Father, we cannot afford to look to the left, to look to the right. We need you more than ever, Lord. Strengthen us, Lord, to seek your face, to spend time in your presence, so we can be strengthened, so we can be built up, so we can be restored, so we can be renewed, so we can be re-energized, so we can stand in the midst of our storms, Lord, because they're coming. Father, we want that overwhelming peace, and we want your everlasting joy. So let us not neglect spending time with you, Lord. I pray that we leave this place changed in our hearts, changed in our minds, transformed to look more like your Son. Do that work in us, Lord, we pray. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Amen. Thank you all for listening.